I want to welcome you all this morning. I want to welcome you to those who are listening online via podcast or streaming. And again, we welcomed Mike Miller last week all the way from Kuwait. So we still thank him for listening. And we've been getting, I don't know exactly if it's all you or if it's people checking in on us, but we've been getting some pretty good hits on the website, iheartthebridge.com/sermons, so you can listen at your own leisure. Your greatest hits, or if there's a sermon that you like, I just don't think that was even in the Bible. Let me listen again and take some good notes. Whatever your tickles your fancy, but you can find it there for free on iheartthebridge.com/sermon. So, again, today we're wrapping up Blurred Lines, and I think we've laughed a bit, we've cried a bit. Hopefully, we've learned a little bit together. And the heart of this series, and the reason we call it Blurred Lines, is because there are some topics out there that there's a lot of information, a lot of opinions on, and a lot of it conflicting. And so we took some of those topics, we tackled them head on, and what we wanted to do was use scriptures to bring some clarity to those topics. And so the first week we talked about the church, okay, the church. And we tried to connect the dots between the day of Pentecost church to 2,000 years later, the church, and exactly what had happened and how we got influenced by other cultures, and some of the traditions that we love and fight for really weren't even cultures that were supposed to be there in the first place, or traditions that were supposed to be in the first place. We know that Jesus never said the word church at all, not in the context that we think of it as, because if I say church, still even you, and you guys have heard me say it 1,000 times, but when I say church, most people's mental image will go to a building with a little steeple, or you might picture this building or some old church that you used to go to back in the good old days. But what Jesus said was ecclesia, which is a group, a gathering. It's a body of people. It's peoples, not steeples. Okay, week two, we talked about relationships and how they define our behavior, define our self-worth, and often have the power to alter our course towards our destiny. Good ones are great for you, bad ones are terrible for you. We talked about that. I shared my personal story that week and made a lot of people cringe, I'm sure, but we're past it now. But I shared how bad decisions I made as a teenager really kind of wrecked me, and for about a decade plus, and how it impacted my life and other relationships that I had. And most importantly, during that week, we talked about how do you move on from that? How do you move on from that? Last week, we talked about the rules. And I think the message could really be summarized by that quote I gave by Mark Driscoll last week, which is, there's not good guys and bad guys. There's bad guys and Jesus. And that no matter how far we think we are, as far as close to the goal, right, the end zone, without Jesus, the end zone might as well be in Jupiter. And so we also talked about using beer as an evangelistic tool. So if you weren't here, you have to get the tape on that. And today we're going to talk about another sensitive, somewhat controversial subject. Okay, we're going to have some fun today, but this, okay, so I'm going to let some of my friends introduce it and then on this video here. So Rob, will you let that roll?
What can I do for you, Rod? You just tell me, what can I do for you?
It's a very personal, very important thing.
Are you ready, Jerry?
I'm ready.
I just want to make sure you're ready, brother.
Here it is. Show me the money.
Yo! Me! Money! Jerry, does that make you feel good just to say that? Jerry.
Show you the money.
Oh, no, you can do better than that, Jerry. I want you to say it with you with me, then, brother. Hey, I got Bob Sugar on the other line. I better hear you say it.
Yeah, no. Show you the money.
Not show you. Show me the money.
Show me the money.
Yeah. Louder.
Show me the money.
That's it, brother, but you got to yell.
Show me the money.
I need to feel you, Jerry.
Show me the money.
Jerry, you better yell. Show me the money.
All right. So today we're going to talk about money. And did you just hear that, by the way? That was a sound of clenching all across the room. People get nervous when you talk about money. But we're going to have some fun today with Show Me the Money. And I apologize for that all that skin that was on the TV screen. We'll just have to, we'll have anointing oil. We'll anoint your eyes afterwards and we'll pretend it never happened. So the OJs, anybody know the OJs? Here's what they had to say about money. They said, for the love of money, people will steal from their mother. Good grief. for the love of money. People will rob their own brother for the love of money. People can't even walk the street because they never know who in the world they're going to be. For the love of money, people will lie. Lord, they will cheat for the love of money. People don't care who they hurt or beat. For the love of money, a woman will sell her precious body for a small piece of paper. It carries a lot of weight. Call it a lean, mean green. The Beatles said, I don't care much for money because why? Money can't buy me love. Are you guys awake? I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone right now. Notorious B.I.G. says, mo money, mo problems. Right? It's Bobby's favorite song. It's his ringtone. Every time I close my eyes, I see my name in shining lights. A different city every night. Oh, I swear the world better prepare for when I'm a billionaire. Travie McCoy. So money, a lot of people... Everybody has something to say about money, right? Everybody has something to say about money. People get worked up about money. No one gets worked up like money or about money than people inside the church when you bring it up inside the church. We're going to talk about money outside the church, but if you say church from where I'm standing, right where I'm talking to you, people get nervous and like, oh, gosh, we're going to have a big giving campaign at the end of service. Maybe. I don't know. I'll keep you hanging. But I've seen people get up and walk out when people say money from the pulpit. I've known of people writing letters to the church. I can't believe. I've known people to make phone calls. I've watched my dad get those kind of calls and letters all through the years, all just because the preacher was talking about money, and that's none of his business. In fact, I mentioned money a few weeks ago, and just kind of in passing, we were talking about generosity, and I saw a person in the church who shall remain nameless, but got visibly upset about it and started... get a case of the squirmies, right? And I cannot believe, and guess how many times they've been back since? Zero times. Okay. All right. You're like, well, that's what I'm planning to do after today, Scott. But here's what I hear a lot. Here's what we hear a lot. The church just wants your money, right? Anybody ever heard that before? The church just wants your money? Seven people, hallelujah, said, we've heard that before. Well, good for you, because I have heard it enough for 75 people. And to be fair, there are a lot of people, to be fair. There are a lot of people who do want your money, and they'll use the name of God or Jesus or the church to get it from you. I'll just go ahead and say that up front. That has been known to be true. That has been known to be true. And in fact, Steph will attest to this, but a lot of times I'll be watching... I'll flip through Christian television. I use that term very loosely. And I can barely stomach more than about 10 minutes of most Christian. There's some wonderful stuff out there.
Nervous at all.
Yeah. Can't nobody hold me down or break my stride. Take more than a battery. Okay. All right. So what were we talking about? Robbie hates money. Okay. I got it. And so we talk about money. People get worked up about money. And these television, Christian television shows are like, that's all it is. It's like, preach, and then for 20 minutes, and then for 10 minutes, it's like, now send me all your money, and they don't say it that way, and I'll get a little bit more about that, but I just, so when people say the church wants your money, I don't think the church, the true church, the church of Jesus Christ, which is the body of Christ, wants your money, but I do think that there are people who will use the name of the church to get what they want, the same way that people will use, like, sick dogs and be like, don't you feel sorry? Would you like to send $100? I would like to send $100 for that three-legged dog. Bless them. And people pulling your heartstrings when they want to get to your money. Listen, I love three-legged. Well, I don't love them. I don't really particularly want one. But if $20 fixes its, maybe it's a fake leg. I don't know. Maybe it'd be a pirate dog, a peg leg. And instead of barking, it'll go, arr, like that. Stay up with me, folks. I'm getting derailed here. But while we're talking about who wants your money, do you know who does want your money? McDonald's wants all your money. Butterbees wants your money. Kroger wants your money. Lowe's, Home Depot, AutoZone, they want your money. Will you ever go into AutoZone and pile up enough items, and they'll be like, you better slow down, right? As long as you keep paying, they'll keep what? Taking, right? They want all your money. Every commercial on TV, what do they want? They want your money, whether it's kids' toys. And here's the thing. People know how to get money from you because they elicit an emotional response. And so I would say that whether it's a three-legged dog or whether it's the new Jake and the Neverland Pirates island ship, I don't know what it is, but it costs a lot of money. But when Liam sees that, mommy, I want that, right? Well, then we say, we're going to tell Santa. And then he's like, well, put it, write it down. So she has to get her phone out and like type it in because that's the list that she's going to send Santa. And Santa always comes through. So, you know, everything that we see, we're inundated by people wanting our money. And a lot of times people go, well, I just want a safe place to go where people don't want my money. I just like to go to church. And again, I would encourage you to say that we don't want your money. We don't want your money. Every doctor, dentist, store, grocery store, lumber yard in every town and every state in America wants your money, okay? A guy I work with, and most of the time we will oblige. We don't even think twice about it, right? Because why? Here's our money. We want stuff. We get it. We know how the exchange works, right? We know how exchange works. A guy that I work with, he's actually literally trademarked the phrase lifestyle addiction. Lifestyle addiction. I thought that was a really great word to describe about how we as Americans particularly, we will max out everything. We'll go up to our eyeballs in debt to get the stuff that we want. We'll get the stuff that we want. I would guess that if I asked people in this room and I go, who's up to their eyeballs in debt? Who's feels like you're smothering under bills? Who's living paycheck to paycheck? I'm not, but if I were, I would say, and if I said, raise your hand if that's you, I would say an overwhelming majority of people in this room would say, yes, that's us. It's terrible and we hate it. And we're stressed and we're, just like our credit cards, we're maxed out. We're maxed out. Not enough money for what we want to do. Not enough money to even pay for what we already have. God doesn't want your money. Okay? Let me just sigh of relief. God, you know what? Not only does he not want it, but guess what? He doesn't need your money. Right? He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your money. What God does want for you is a better way to live. Is a better way to live. So I would encourage you to take notes. I think that at least three sentences out of the hour that I have with you every week would be noteworthy. But if you would like to take notes and start today, or if you were already in that mindset, what I would say point number one would be is give first, get second. Give first, get second. And I'm just going to give you some practical, and again, just take a deep breath. I'm not like setting you up. I'm not going to wheel out Sparky, the three-legged dog at the end, and I'd be like, "You see, what color is he, Jamie?" He's black. He's black, and you're like getting out your purses and your wallets. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to give you some practical ways to live above the world systems when it comes to money. Okay? No big offerings at the end. In fact, we've already done that, haven't we? So we're good. Just relax. So when we look to hoard our wealth and possessions, it begins to consume us. It steals our attention. It robs us of our joy and our peace, and it we come to a place, or should I say, when we come to a place where we're not afraid to let it go, our money, then we can be free from the shackles that it has on us. Let me show you what 1 Timothy says. 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10 says it like this. He says, but people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. So to take a time out just there for a second, I would say God doesn't want your money. He doesn't want you to fall into ruin and destruction. Do you see the difference? For the love of money, not money, but the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. God doesn't want your money. He wants to prevent you from piercing yourself with many sorrows. There's a big difference in that. We have to change our mindset. Maybe, if maybe if it applies, change our mindset on the way that we see money in the context of the walk of faith. Next thing, contentment is the secret. So let me, lean back just for a second. Give first, get second. So when I think of money, I want to think of ways that I can give, that I can help, that I can be generous, and not ways that I can leverage every dollar that I have for, to gather more stuff. We moved a couple weeks ago, and I could not believe the stuff that we had packed in that small house in 7 years. I mean, you would have thought we unpacked like an MTV Cribs house. I'm like, where did this stuff even go? Like, we have only so many closets. Where did this stuff come from? But it's the idea, I'll blame it mostly on the kid, let's be honest, but like you can never get enough, And, our children, you know, we'll have stuff kind of like in a Tupperware, not a Tupperware, but a Rubbermaid container like underneath their bed, piled away for like 2 years, and we like, well, let's just give it away. Let's give it to somebody else who can play with it, a Goodwill, whatever. But the kids catch you doing that, right? If you have kids, you know they're not good with that. No, I've been looking for that. You're like, you forgot you even had it. No, I want that. That's my favorite, right? And so we like to hoard our stuff. And if we can get in the mindset of giving first and getting second, then I also believe not only will we, again, live without that pressure, without the stress that money causes in our life, but we'll also get everything we need. Because there's an element of faith in there. We'll talk more about that in a second. Contentment is the secret. Contentment, that's a second point, if you will. Contentment is the secret. Let's look at Philippians 4:11-13. This is Paul saying, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Contentment is a place that we can live, and here's what contentment means, really. It says that my trust and my faith is in my God. It's not in my paycheck, it's not in my boss, it's not in the economy, it's not in the government, but it's in my God. And that if I'll be faithful and learn how to be content with what I have and not always wanting what I don't have. Because here's the thing, when you maybe in a stage of life where you don't have a lot, what you always tell yourself is, if I could just have this, then I'd be cool. If I just have a house this size, then I'm good. If I just have a car like this, I'm good, right? If I could just make $3 more on the hour, then life would be good. If everyone could be honest, if you've been there and then got what you thought you needed, it didn't take very long, under a year, and you're already what? Looking for more. It's just how humans work. It doesn't mean we're bad people. It means that that's how the world trains us to behave, because while I prefer capitalism over any other economic system in the world, it's still kind of ugly, right? Because capitalism says, I've got to take your dollars to make this thing work. I've got to make something real awesome so that you want to work hard to give me money to make it for you, and it's this cycle that keeps going. And the idea is that there's always something new, like the iPhone 5. What is it, the iPhone 5C now? Or they have the C or they have the S? And I don't get it. I'm a droid guy anyways. Don't throw your stones. But I I've got a nice one. I mean, it's, I don't know what I got, S for, so I fall into it too, right? She's got the iPhone 5, you know, but the idea is that I'm thinking back, I had like a Nokia, right? With like, it was like white and black, or like kind of like a green and black, like no pictures, like internet. Like it was, I mean, if you said 10 years ago you'd have like internet on your phone, you'd be like thinking like that's the Jetsons kind of stuff, right? Like to think like my phone is like my portal to like the real world, like Facebook, Twitter, everything, you know, I update the website that we have for the bridge on my phone. I mean, it's amazing what we can do, but as soon as something new comes out, what do we want? It. It doesn't matter what it is, but we're trained. We're trained to want to have it. I'm not saying you should have, my boss is weird. He's like, he's literally the richest dude I've ever known, but he has like the original iPhone, right? Like the original iPhone. But he's got a lot of nice stuff. You know, his Mercedes-Benz is nice. But his iPhone's like the original, and it was just like, I just look at people sometimes, and it's like, you know, some people be like, will miss 10 meals, you know, or they'll be like picking through trash as long as they have the newest, neatest gadget, you know. And so it's just about putting our priorities straight. Getting in here like, this is not fun. Tell us more stories about skeletons in your closet, Scott, because we like that. But again, just like we the S word 2 weeks ago, I just would rather let's help each other along the way rather than try to pick each other up when we crash and burn. Right? And so I'm some of the stuff that I've learned and still learning. Regardless of what my situation is, I know my future is secure in God's hands because I refuse to believe that I serve a God who will let me starve to death. Right? I refuse. And I know what you're thinking. Like, that would take a long time, Scott. But I refuse to believe in a God who let me go homeless or find myself. I mean, I just refuse to believe in a God who will let me. David said it like this. He says, I've yet to see the righteous forsaken, right? I've yet to see the righteous forsaken. Or they're seed begging for bread. I believe in that we taking care of us. You understand, too, it's all relative. And I'm not going to bring out 1,000 statistics, even though I could, of how everyone in this room is one of the richest people in the world. Like, literally, right? Like, everyone in this room, if you've got shoes on, you're already, like, top 2% in the world of, like, wealth, right? You have to know that. You just have to know that. I mean, that's the God's honest truth. But still, I mean, even today, maybe some of you walked in, you're, like, checking other people's, you know, who's got on what and who's got this, and maybe some of you feeling ashamed because you've got the iPhone 4. Like, oh, my gosh, you know? It's good. We're good. Because 1,000 years from now, it won't even matter, right? I mean, literally, if you believe like I believe that eternity is for real and forever, 1,000 years from now, the stuff we have, I mean, it's not going to make a difference. It's not going to make a difference. Like, I just don't know that we're going to have, like, Wi-Fi in heaven. Like, I don't know, you know? Like, I don't think we're going to have apps, like, in heaven. I don't think it'll work that way. And you're like, well, I don't want to go. Well, okay, well, that's your choice, but I'm just saying. Okay, let's look at the third point. This is a big one. Generosity preaches the gospel. Generosity preaches the gospel. I'm going to show you a scripture on this. It's 8 verses, so just buckle in, okay? 2 Corinthians 9:6-14. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. That makes sense. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. Listen to this. This is critical. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of believers in Jerusalem will be met, or the needs of believers in the church or the community will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God, for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. This is really powerful here. So what it basically says is that if you're willing to be generous with the stuff that you have, people will thank God. And here's where people get sideways with this kind of thing. Okay? People get sideways with, because if I give something, let's just be honest and ugly for a minute, okay? If I give you something and you don't say thank you, you know what that makes me? Mad, okay? It makes me mad. Jesus, please change Brother Scott's heart. I know that's what you're saying. but for the rest of you humans in the building, do you know what I'm talking about? Like, you do something nice, all you want is a little thank you in return. Show me some gratitude. Because guess what? Because a lot of times when we give, and I'm guilty of it, I'll just be straight up, it's really, at the end of the day, more about us than it is about them. Because what we want when we give to some people is pats on the back, right? That's why a lot of times I think it's a good strategy to give someone something in secret that takes that whole element out of it. Just send somebody a money order in the mail rather than get out in the hallway like, I just want to give you some money, right? You're like, and the person's like, okay, right? Like, I've seen that happen. And go to people in private and help them out. You know, what we don't do when people call us at the church, and they do from time to time, more often than not, they need some help with some groceries. And by the way, quick plug, we've got stuff. If you or someone you know is hurting in that way, we want to give you some stuff, give you some hamburger helpers and the whole thing, right? We want to help you out. But what we don't do is make them come up front in the middle of the service and go, okay, poor people, let's bring it in, right? We're giving some food to the poor people. Have some Cheerios, right? We don't do that. We let them come after service because we're not looking to pat our own selves on the back for the church's generosity, but we're also not looking to embarrass people so that we feel better about ourselves. We're not going to do that. But when we do give out of a cheerful heart, not reluctantly, not because we want to acknowledge for it, but we do something good out of the goodness of our heart because it's right to do so, we're preaching the gospel. We're reinforcing the good news that Christ lives in us and that because he's shown us grace, we're willing to show other people grace. And when we do that, they won't give thanks to me or you or the person who did it as much as they'll thank God, right? And that's the idea, that by be willing to let go of our stuff, if we have the faith and trust that God will always take care of us and provide for ourselves, our generosity and the grace that we show will be reflective of the grace that we've received. Again, it's a different way to think, and I get it. And I think this is a pretty tame, because I could, you know, bust out the Old Testament and like try to guilt you into stuff. And I just don't think we need to operate that way. I don't think we need to operate that way. Because giving is an act of worship. You know, giving is an act of worship. When worship means attesting worth or giving worth or defining worth towards someone, something. Okay? And we do that through the sacrificing of our time. You rolling in here on a Sunday morning. We do that through sacrificing of our money, right? We give something that we could easily keep for ourselves, but we give for a greater cause. The giving is an act of worship. It says that I could keep it and give it to McDonald's or whoever, but I'm going to give it to the church instead. And again, I'm going to talk to you more about what that means, you give it to the church. But giving is an act of worship. It's an act of faith. Please, listen, I'm preaching about money on a Sunday morning when I've got my car in the driveway that won't start, okay? So don't look, I mean, I'm not telling you to do anything that I don't have to struggle with myself, and I don't, because listen, the last thing I'll do to you is like, if you just give, then pennies from heaven will rain down, and you open your mailbox and kabam, there comes out $1,000 check. It doesn't always work that way. Now, I love the testimonies that say, well, I didn't have a lot of money, but I gave, and the next thing you know, Duke Energy says, hey, you overpaid your bill by $17, and bless God, I got a $17 refund check. I'm like, it's not a blessing, that's a refund, you know? That's how I see it, okay? And bless God, the government sent me a check. No, they gave your money back that you gave because you gave them too much, okay? It's a taxed refund. It's not a blessing, but besides that, so let's really... You're like, well, you're unthankful. No, I'm just, let's, you know, I want a real blessing, like one I didn't deserve, one I didn't create, one I didn't get because I overpaid a bill. You know, I want something big, and I believe that if we're faithful, God will give blessing. But you know what? Sometimes I have given, we have given, we give a percentage of our income every year and have for a long, long time, and we give on top of that too, because we believe in what we're doing here as a church, but we believe that is a testament of saying, God, trust me, we have a lot of things that we could do with this money, but we're going to give it to the kingdom, and we believe that you're going to do what you want to do with that, and you're going to take care of us too. And we've had a lot of scary times where you've got a bill, you've got no money. And I don't care how big the bill is, whether it's $200 or $1,000, but if you don't have no money, you got no money, you're stressed out, you're maxed out, and you're like, what am I going to do? And you start strategizing. That's what we typically do, right? We start saying, oh, if I call this person, if I go here, if I get that, if I do. Sometimes you just have to stand firm and say, God, in fact, what we usually have to do when we get in those situations, which is more often than I care to admit, is say, you're going to take care of it. You always have, and you always will. And you know, you're going to work it out. And so if something loosens up, or we get this, or we get that, something always does happen. It always does happen. And it worked out in our favor. It works out in our favor. Giving is an act of faith. Giving is an act of faith. You know what giving is also? Giving is an act of love. Giving is an act of love. And so when we truly give out of a generous heart and a generous spirit, if you look, let me give you all a little tip. Go through your bank account and look where you spend your money, okay? And look how much you spend, where you spend it, and it'll tell you where your heart's at, okay? I'm not beating anybody up. I'm just saying that will typically tell you where your heart's at. Well, bulk of my money goes to my mortgage. Well, besides that, I'm talking about the little things that we do, the debit card, the swipe stuff, right? So when we look at where that goes, that'll give us a good inclination of where our heart's at, okay? So just I'll leave that there. But I would say is that while I won't never guilt you into doing anything, because God doesn't want your money. God doesn't need your money. He wants you to be free from being trapped and enslaved to the world system, which says that your self-worth is defined by the stuff that you have. That is a lie. School kids fall for that kind of stuff, right? I can remember telling my parents I had to have this kind of shoes and this kind of jeans and this kind of shirt. I had to have Nike, not Reebok. Adidas, are you kidding me? No, I need Nike, right? I need this, I need that. And school kids do that. Maybe your school kids do that. Because the world system is like a shark tank at public schools, judging people by the way they dress. Hopefully that's better. My inclination tells me that's probably not. But as sad as we think that is for young kids to go, adults feel the same way. And some people will feel less than great pulling into a friend's house in the car that you drive. Or some people I know, you know, you're not allowed to go to their house because they're ashamed of it. This is real stuff. And so the idea is that it's okay to want nice things. And I believe that God wants to elevate you to a place where you have stuff and that you're comfortable and that you're not always miserable and that you don't have, that you don't go in lack. But I would also say that God's more concerned that you have a happy heart and that you have a peaceful soul. Because again, if he did give you what you wanted, if you walked out to today, and some of you have been praying for a specific car, or even a new car, even a car that starts, you know? But if you walked out in the parking lot, I guarantee you within 3 months, within 90 days, there'd be something else that you wanted. May even be wanting to trade that very same vehicle that you just got in. God wants to free you from that kind of mindset. Wants to free you from it. Giving is investing in the kingdom of God. It's investing in the kingdom of God. It's investing in the kingdom of God. It says that I believe that, because if I give my money to McDonald's, I get a burger. And guess what I think they're going to do with my money? Make more burgers, right? That's what they do. They're in the burger-making business. And so some people can't connect the dots between, well, if I give it to the church, exactly what do they do with it? Exactly what do they do with it? Well, one of the things that we do is, anybody hate their electric bill? We'll trade you, okay? You know, we pay utilities through your grace. And I just want to say thank you for all of you who give at any level. Because literally we can't do this. We can't keep the lights on. We can't keep the water running. We can't pay the insurance. All the things that you have to do in your own home, we have to do here, okay? We have cut well over $100,000 out of our budget over the last couple of years to make sure that we're being faithful and putting money in the right places. And unfortunately, some of the things that we've had to do because of that is we've had to cut back on certain outreach opportunities that we'd like to take part in. Okay? And so what we're doing is we're basically running a skeleton format in the sense that we're dedicated to make sure that the lights stay on, the doors stay open, and that kind of thing, and then everything else is just kind of gravy. But we don't stockpile, okay? We don't stockpile your cash, like literally almost down to the penny. Everything that comes in goes exactly right back out. Telephone, okay, you get it. But as much as I trust McDonald's to make more burgers with the money that I invest with them, what your mindset should be when it comes to the church is when I give to the church, I'm investing in the fact that someone else will hear the story of salvation that I heard way back whenever when I gave my life to Christ. That's what you're investing in. And I don't know what that's worth to you. And I know that sounds facetious and sarcastic, and I don't really mean it to be. But I don't know what that's worth to you, but that's what you should be giving. You know? And we're thankful. We've got a lot of volunteers. You know, those toilets don't wash themselves, clean themselves, right? The floors don't sweep themselves. Maybe if you want to buy us a little, one of those little robot things that like go around the floor, which is pretty cool, then we could say they sweep themselves. But until then, we've got actual real-life human beings who come in here and volunteer their time to do it, okay? And we're thankful for that. We're thankful for that. And any way that you could help, because elbow grease spends like money in our world, okay? So we appreciate that. But we don't, you know, our overhead salary cost is peanuts, okay? It's nothing. And most of us here on staff work for free because we believe in what we're doing here. We believe in the kingdom work here. And we believe that if we all pull together now, 5 years from now, 2 years from now, God, we're going to look back and here's what we want to do. There's churches, and I know I'm not even going to say the names, and you're probably sick of it, but there's churches who started with literally nothing, with 12 people who within 5 years were able to start giving $1 million a year back into the community. After all their bills are paid, all their administrative expenses, all their utility bills and everything else, they're able to give $1 million back into the community around them. Why? Because generosity preaches the gospel. Because when we give out of our generosity, people will give thanks to God. That's what we want to get to. And just, we're going to have a vision series coming up here in the next few weeks to a month. And we're going to talk a lot about where I believe God wants to take us throughout the rest of this year and into 2014. But what we don't have plans to do is...
Are you kidding me?
Robbie. Test, okay. Good grief. What we don't want to do is build this like elaborate church. Here's my commitment to you. Before we ever build a bigger church, number one, we'll fill this up. And number two, we'll run multiple services, Saturday nights and Sundays, before we ever commit your dollars to building a new project just for the sake of having a big church. Okay? That's a promise. All right, take it down. Now, 5,000 people show up next week to, you know, I might have to redig on that promise. But for right now... Because I don't know how many services we'd have to have five, if we had to house 5,000 people. But again, listen, can I tell you something? Well, before you do, let me warm you up. Here's why we don't give, and here's what we also won't do around here. Because if you watch TV or if you've been around some churches, you might hear something like, God told me that if you'll give $77 in the next 77 minutes and 77 seconds, and you'll get a supernatural blessing on the seventh day of the seventh month of the seventh year. No, man. Like, I'm not playing that game. I don't believe the Bible's some magic, like, wizard's workbook, like, where you just, like, you put it, concoct everything together, and if you read this verse and that verse and that verse, and holy moly, then now I know how to get rich. I don't believe the Bible works that way. I'm just going to put that out there, okay? So we're not going to do, like, all these fancy schmancy, like, three-legged dogs and little, you know, little gimmicks and a wheel out some little old lady and be like, you don't want her to go hungry, do you? Like, I'm not going to do that. We're not going to do that here. We're just going to be real about what we have the opportunity to do together. And that's build an amazing community. Do you know there's a mega church being built in New York City? And you know what their religion is? Atheism. I'll put the article out today if I think about it on our Facebook page. But here's what they said. That they want the community of the church They want the inspiration of the church. They want the opportunity to help one another when people get in a bad way. We lean on each other. That's what we're supposed to do. They don't believe in God, though. But they want all the benefits of the church. And I thought, wow, man, that's like terrible and good all at the same time. Like, people who don't even believe in God look at some church models and be like, that's great. We get to go, we get to hang out, listen to music, we get to sing together, we get to laugh together, we get inspired by some talker, right? If I have a hard time, I'm hard up for cash, or if I hurt myself or I'm out of work, then I can look at my other friends around me and my other family around me, they can lift me up. That's what church is supposed to be. And people who don't even believe in God get that. They understand that, right? And so we're just, all I'm asking this morning is, let's think big picture. So those little purple pouches come your way, think big picture. Think about, what are we trying to build here? What are we trying to build here? If you give offering with an entertainment mindset, you're like, well, that's worth a buck, right? I'm not saying it's not even about the buck, but don't give with the entertainment mindset. Like, you're paying to be talked to and sang to. What we're doing is we take time in the middle of our weekly gatherings to gather finances and all. I mean, I hate how phony people use God's name to get stuff. Like, I hope, like, literally, if I ever, like, roll in here on a private jet, I just punch me in the face, right? I mean, just come on, give me a break. Thank you. With the left, not the right, because is your right your strong hand? Because I bruise easy. But literally, I mean, so I just, when I hear things like, you know, let's take up these big drives, and then that's not us. That is not us. That's not the community that we want to build. We want to build a community. And so when we give, and then we're like, where's this really good? I just wish that we could, like, if I was sitting in the pew and the purple pouch came around, I feel great and honored and privileged to be a part of this with my finances, because I'm already a part of this with my time, and I'm already part of this with my heart, and hopefully you're a part of this with your prayer time at home. And if we can roll up our sleeves and put and invest in this, and we're together in this with our finances, then we won't be give grudgingly. Giving an offering in a church is not a magic potion to be blessed. It is not. Because I can't promise you it'll come back tenfold, hundredfold, thousandfold, depending on what day of the month you give it and all this kind of nonsense. I just believe that is, you know, it's the same token as my own children. We go to Walmart, guess what they want? A prize, right? That's what Liam was calling it for a while. I need a prize, right? I mean, it means he needs a toy. And you know what I do because I love him? I'll do for him what he can't do for himself, right? And you know what? I can't solve all of Mount Orb's problems, or Williamsburg, or Bethel, Amelia, wherever you guys come from, Lynchburg, the LBC. Like, I can't fix everybody's problems, but I believe together we can solve a lot of them together. We can solve a lot of them together. And that's where we need to have our minds when it comes to offerings. Let me give you a little bit more, and I'll wrap it up, I promise. And can I just say, I understand that some people may be struggling with this. Like, I don't know what exactly you would struggle with, because I don't think I've said anything that would make you feel guilty or try to twist your arm. But understand that the matter you get in a day like this is relative to how much you are slave to the world system. Now, that might have made you mad, but I'm okay with that, because you need the truth. Like, if you're fired up with the second I say money, you're probably slaved in and up to here with your debt, and you're probably feeling the stress, and I get it. And you're like, the last thing I need is another person telling me they want my money. I don't want your money. I want you to live free of transgression. I want you to live free of stress. I want you to live free without the pressure of feeling like the stuff you have defines how special you really are. That's what I want. We don't give because he will. What do I mean by that? Some people say, well, if I give this, God will do that. No. We give because he did, and because he can. What did he did? He did the deal on the cross and resurrected. And so we trust him because of that. I'm good with anybody who predicts his own death, dies, and comes back to life. I'm good, right? He's my guy. And if I have to give financially to help that message continue to be spread for another 2,000 years, I'm good. Giving generously is the ultimate test of faith because salvation seems so far away. What I mean by that is you'd think that it would be easier to trust with your finances, like I'm going to give and God will take care of me, that would be easier than to say I'm going to die one day and wake up in heaven for a million years. Like that whole in heaven coming back to life thing, like to me that would take more faith because that's a bigger deal, right? Like even if I do get $5 a week and it's all a fraud, I mean, I'll be okay. But this whole thing like trusting your eternity to something, that's a bigger deal. But we don't see it that way because eternity is like so far away, right? Like heaven's so far away. There's a song in that. And we see for like heaven, especially if we're younger, we're like, well, that's 50 years from now, whatever years from now. And even if you're older than that, you're still, it's like decades away. We got a long time to worry about that. But I need money today. I need my dough today, right? Show me the money. And it takes a bigger measure of faith to live in faith with your finances today. And I acknowledge that. And so here's all I'm asking of you is that you take baby step towards that and see what happens. And if you end up homeless, you can live with me. You didn't think that was funny? Okay. You're like, no, he's serious. You wrote it down. Like, did you get that on tape? Because we're going to try it. So we're going to, do you have bunk beds? And so if you go homeless because you trusted God with your faith, I'll take care of you myself. That's how much I have faith in God on your behalf. But just take baby steps. You're like, well, I'm not going to start giving $100 a week or $1,000 a week or $1 million, whatever. It doesn't even matter. The number doesn't even matter, okay? It's the idea that I want to start pushing my way into a lifestyle of faith when it comes to my finances. That's all I'm asking. You have an opportunity every 7 days here at the Bridge to say no to the world. I'm not falling for your tricks anymore. I'm going to try to live in a way that says my stuff doesn't make me who I am. And I'm going to invest as much as I love to invest in more Big Macs. I'm going to invest in people far from God finding a relationship with him through belief and relationship in Jesus Christ. I'm not going to apologize for today. I mean, we don't talk about money, but maybe 3 times a year, and I don't even know that's enough, frankly, but we're not trying to cram anything down your throats. If this is your first Sunday, just come back, okay? Because you're like, that's the church they preach about money, just very rarely. We talked about some other really fun and cool stuff the last couple weeks. That's when you should have been here. But I believe that it's our responsibility as a church to help encourage each other as we're all doing these things in faith. Even when things don't look good, like you have a car in your driveway that don't start, and I'm not looking forward to it. If you know the kind of car I drive, it doesn't come cheap, and it's not just like go get any Earl on the side of the road to fix it for you. Like it's going to be like, it's like $1,000 to like do anything, right? Change a fuse. And I'm not looking forward to that. And I'm kind of in the dumps about it, just a little bit. But here's what I've known is I've been in that place before, and God always, always, always provides, and he always takes care. And me and my kids or my wife, we never miss a meal. So today, other than the baby steps, think about what that means for you. Pray about it. Like, I just think sometimes that we just take it for granted that everybody takes time to pray. But, I mean, prayer life is important. It's important to you. It's important to you that you stay connected to God. But I want you to ask yourself 2 questions today. We wrap up. If not you, then who? Okay? If not you, then who? And what do I mean by that? And I would just encourage you that if you really believe in this church, and you believe it enough that you get up and brush your teeth and shower early on a Sunday morning when you could be in bed, and you believe in what we're trying to accomplish here, which is bringing people far from God to relationship with him through Jesus Christ, if you believe in that mission, then you understand that, you know, the lights don't pay, like we don't have a federal grant to pay our water bill, right? it takes all of us pulling together in a community of faith to make this stuff happen. So if it's not you, then who? And again, this might be where it stings a little bit, but when I roll into church and I get the, I mean, look at these marvelous mauve pews. I mean, where else are you going to get that? But I roll in and I sit down, and if I'm not willing to invest with the other people in my family, my church family, because I believe that we should be a family, I'm saying that I think someone else should do that on my behalf. Scott, you don't know. I probably do know, because I've been in some dark places financially and come down. It's kind of like a roller coaster, and I'm still trying to even out and battle a lifestyle addiction. Okay, I get it. But I'm not saying, I mean, but I only give this. It's not about this. It's about anything. If I walk into a church and I'm like, I'm not giving them a dime, I would just question, how committed to this community are you? Again, I get it, you know? And you don't have to be committed to this community. If you're new around here, then I would say just give us a couple weeks and see if you like it before you give your money, right? I mean, who wouldn't like a test drive of everything? Wouldn't you like to get a car and have it for like a couple months and drive it and be like, I guess, okay, I'll start making payments on it, right? Wouldn't you like to go into a new house and live there for a couple months and be like, okay, well, I guess, all right, we'll start scratching the check. It doesn't have termites, it's not going to collapse on us in the middle of the night. I get that. But I'm saying, if you're vested here and you're like, this is my church and I believe in what God's doing, I believe that this church is uniquely purposed to reach people in this community. We've done the statistics. We've told you 1,000 times. There's well over 100,000 people who are unchurched, who are far from God within a 30-mile radius of where I stand today. If you're all in and believe that this church has the means to make this happen, if not you, then who? And that last question I'll have you ask is, if not this, then what? If not this, then what? And again, I know this is tough stuff. You're like, based on where we've been up until this point, you're like, I don't think I like this guy. Well, I'll be nicer next week. I'm just trying to help. But if I'm saying, I don't care what it is, Jamie, give me a dollar denomination. $32. Thank you. Very random, timely. If I want to give $32 to this community, this body of believers, if I say, nah, I'm not going to do that, just think of where does it go next? Well, some people say, well, it goes to bills. Listen, I get it. I'm not asking you to not pay your bills. I'm not doing that. But if it goes to some other form of something else or something entertainment or maybe new fancy this or fancy that and like something I got to have but don't really need, I'm just asking, if not this, then what? If not this, then what? I don't believe the church needs to compete for entertainment dollars. I just don't believe that. I believe that we are fostering a community that says, he's my only. Like, man, good grief. I mean, singing those songs this morning, you know, my heart burns for you. And I just know, and I wasn't looking around, but I know that different people were singing that on different levels, right? Like some people are like all in with that. My heart burns for you. You know what that means. That means that, man, Jesus, if you just had Jesus, who even cares about anything else? And some people are working towards that. I get it. But the closer we get to Jesus is all we need. I know it sounds ridiculous to some, but if you're at that point, you know how ridiculous it sounds to think otherwise. How do you get by without Jesus? Like, I don't even know. But the closer we get to that place, the more we'll be able to trust him and have faith in him and say, you got my back. You've got my back, God. And I know that if I let my generosity preach the gospel and I learn the secret of being content in every situation, because everything I have is so very temporary. Besides the fact it'll be out of style in 9 months, I'll need something new to replace it. But 1,000 years from now, 1,000,000 years from now, all of this will be so, so very trivial. Amen? So I'm going to pray over you today. We'll wrap it up. If you don't come back next week, you'll look cheap. I'm just saying. Everybody, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. We'll have Jamie with the three-legged dog at the back door. You take your money on the way out.